Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today, our scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, which says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is one of the worst things that mankind can do. When we think that we have abilities, when we think that we can live without God, when we think we can take care of things by ourselves, that's where we're in trouble. But when we humble ourselves, when we realize that we can't do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what the scripture teaches. And as we trust Him, walk with Him, as we allow Him to take control of our lives, then He's able to bless us, use us, and to open doors for us. And we start seeing Him work in our lives, and we start having divine appointments, and we start seeing things in our lives that only He can produce. And that gives us great peace and great joy as we see God working through us. I trust that this is your experience throughout this next week.
Mission Moments is being brought to you by Mission Go, the mission agency with hundreds of points that spread the gospel worldwide and support the continuation of Canada's National Bible Hour. This week during Mission Moments, we would like to share that we are so grateful for all God is accomplishing. First, thanks to your generosity in giving to Mission Go's Far East broadcast, Ahoben Radio, they have received brand new recording equipment to replace the failing equipment the ministry had been using. Our Ahoben missionaries radiated joy, telling us what a blessing this was to them. They said, "We are thankful to our God for answering our prayers as we needed to replace our failing equipment. We were able to replace our recording equipment, including a computer, and then purchase a video projector for our VBS and discipleship program, which helps us spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last year, God has blessed the fruits of their labor. 1,500 people have come to know Christ through Ahoben Radio, part of the Mission Go broadcast network. Our missionaries led 300 new local believers in baptism. They led 10 conferences, disciplined over 500 believers, and produced 450 radio programs. Recently, Dipali was asked to speak to 50 women in gospel ministry to encourage them with the Word of God. It went so well that they asked her to talk to the group once a month. Soon after this, the ladies' listeners met, and more than 100 ladies attended, many accepting the Lord after seeing the joy of the Lord in their fellowship and hearing the gospel in person. Pray for our missionaries as they prepare for more discipleship training meetings." The Dipali family reported the broadcast also runs a pre-primary school among the Dalit communities. Although treasured by God, these Dalit communities get little respect in their own culture. MGO Radio Ministry blesses these little children with the truth that Jesus cherishes and accepts, wanting them to know Him personally, Matthew 19:13-15. In Kolkata, almost 100 listeners came from West Bengal and Bangladesh. They testified of changed lives and their changed communities due to hearing the gospel through MGO Ahoban Radio. What greater joy is there than hearing that God is touching hearts to receive His salvation and that communities around Bangladesh are changing because of the impact of Jesus' work in their hearts? One of the listeners who attended, Tapan, found out the following day that his house had been robbed, and that his money and expensive goods had been stolen. Our missionaries and other listeners quickly gathered around him to cover him and his household in prayer. Within a few days, the police caught the thief and recovered all the stolen items. He contacted our missionaries immediately, giving praise to God for answering prayer. This ministry reaches many people, yet by God's grace, it also develops individual personal relationships that last for decades. The goal is always to point people to Christ and disciple them with God's word at the helm. Mission Go broadcast Ahoban Radio desires to give each listener who completes their Bible correspondence course a Bible of their own. These new believers in the faith are hungry for the Word of God. Would you join us in putting God's precious Word into the hands of 500 new Bengali believers who have finished the correspondence courses? The cost of each Bible is $9. This is a great need as the Word of God is transforming individual hearts, and then communities. When a believer has their copy of Scripture, an individual can memorize it, seek to apply it to their daily lives, and then make disciples. We know that the Word of God is living and active, Hebrews 4:12, and that it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that each believer may be equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Today, would you prayerfully partner and invest in this ministry, bringing so many to Christ? May God continue to grant the increase for His honor and glory. Please join us in prayer for these ministries of Mission Go Radio Outreach. Contact us here at Canada's National Bible Hour if you wish to support this ministry in other ways.
Thank you so much for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you are aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we need your prayers, we need your support to help us to stay on the air. And so we're asking for our listeners during this time of the year to be much in prayer for Canada's National Bible Hour. That'll make a tremendous impact in people's lives, and many will come to hear the gospel and be saved, and others will grow faith. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet by Max Licato entitled Pocket Prayers. And basically, it's got 40 simple prayers that bring peace and rest to us. Sometimes we want to pray, and sometimes we don't know how to express ourselves in prayers to God. And this booklet can really help you a lot. There's different subjects that are listed in the index, and you can go there and you can sort of read along that prayer, and that will help you to think about your own situation and then pray effectively to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I really recommend this. I use it myself, and it's been very encouraging and been very helpful in your journey towards peace, rest, and a closer conversation with God. To get a copy of Pocket Prayers, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R, 7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010 at Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is from his series, The Biography of Christ. Printed copies are available upon request.
As we resume our biography of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us take a moment to do two things. Let us consciously put out of our minds all thoughts that might interfere with our concentration on Him and Him alone. And let us ask God to give us a new and greater revelation of His beloved Son than we have ever known before. Will you join me in prayer? O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow in reverence before You and ask You in this hallowed hour to give us a fresh revelation of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We stand on holy ground when we approach You and ask You to lift the veil of our minds and let us see Him in all His infinite glory and majesty and power. Take away all distracting thoughts and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fix our minds on Him and Him alone. Transport us in the Spirit to that holy mount of transfiguration where we will see no man save Jesus only. We ask in His matchless name. Amen. Today we focus on Christ, the Stranger of Galilee. Let us begin by reading God's summation of that phase of Christ's earthly life and ministry, as recorded in Matthew 4, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went out through all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people, that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Christ's public ministry began when he was about 30 years old. The divine record gives but little information concerning his early life. We're told that as an infant, Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt to escape the decree of Herod the king that all male Israeli children under 2 years of age should be killed. They remained in Egypt until Herod's death. Then they returned to Nazareth, where Joseph plied his trade as a carpenter. When Jesus was 12 years old, he accompanied Joseph and Mary on their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend the feast of the Passover, and unbeknown to them, tarried behind when they started the return journey. It was 3 days before they found him sitting among the learned doctors of the law in the temple, hearing them and asking them questions, and astounding all who heard him by his understanding and answers. Returning to Nazareth, we are told that he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His days, apparently, were spent helping Joseph in the carpenter shop. But step by step, God's eternal plan and purpose started to unfold. There emerged on the public scene a remarkable man named John the Baptist, whose mother Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. John, a rugged man of the desert, was a fiery preacher of righteousness who shook and angered the religious establishment with his vehement denunciation of hypocrisy and corruption in high places. He was the prophet foretold by Isaiah and ordained of God to be the forerunner of the Christ. The theme of his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There standeth one among you whom ye know not, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Thousands flocked to hear him, and hundreds confessed their sins and were baptized by John in the River Jordan. Then one day Jesus came where John was baptizing, and when John saw him, he cried out to the multitude, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus asked John to baptize him, but John demurred, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" But he yielded to Christ's repeated request and baptized him in Jordan. As Christ came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit of God, in a visible form as a dove, descended and abode upon him. And the voice of God his Father spake from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is one of the irrefutable manifestations of the triune God, in which all three members of the eternal Trinity were manifest separately at one and the same time. God the Son coming up out of Jordan, God the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove, and God the Father speaking from heaven, affirming that Christ was his beloved Son. Following his baptism, Matthew 4 records that Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days and nights he was tempted of the devil, who offered him all the kingdoms of the world if he would but worship him. The matchless Christ resisted every temptation, which enabled it to be written of him in the divine record, "He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin." Following his ordeal in the wilderness, he began his public ministry. He gathered around him a little band of men. The first was Andrew, a fisherman, who had heard John the Baptist acclaim Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew brought his impulsive brother Peter, also a fisherman. Christ invited Philip to join them, and so it went until the band of close followers was increased to 12, including Judas Iscariot, who later would betray him. Accompanied by his disciples, Christ began traveling and preaching through the towns and communities of Galilee and Judea. But he did more than preach. He manifested his deity by performing miracles. He attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee and turned water into wine at the marriage feast. He commanded the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He even raised to life people who had died. His ministry was characterized by great compassion for those in need. He fed the hungry multitude by multiplying a few loaves and fishes insufficient to feed 5,000 men beside women and children. He comforted those who mourned. He bound up the brokenhearted. In the words of Scripture, he went about doing good. Mark 12:37 says, "The common people heard him gladly." His ministry was characterized by teaching. The people who heard him shook their heads in amazement and said, "Never man spake like this man." Mark 1:22 says they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. His teaching concentrated on three main themes. First, his relationship with God and why he had come into the world. Over and over again, he affirmed that God was his Father and that he and his Father were one. Later, when on trial for his life, this affirmation would be used against him by his enemies within the religious establishment. "We have a law," was their accusation, "and by our law he ought to die, because he, being a man, maketh himself God." Not only did he make clear that God was his Father and that he had come forth from God, but he emphasized that his Father had sent him because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die, a substitute sin-bearer in the place of sinful, guilty men, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. "The Son of Man," he said, "came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The second theme of his teaching was the coming kingdom of heaven on earth, over which he will someday reign. When the angels announced his birth, they had said, "Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there should be no end." Clearly this speaks of a literal, not a spiritual kingdom, and much of Christ's teaching dealt with what his future kingdom on earth will be like. This was the theme of his great Sermon on the Mount and of many of his parables. He stressed that he had been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and was in very truth their long-promised Messiah. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Thirdly, he taught that the ultimate establishment of his kingdom of heaven must be preceded by men and women experiencing a spiritual new birth. "Except a man be born again," he said to Nicodemus, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." He spoke of himself as the bread of life and stressed that men must partake of him to gain eternal life. He urged men not to labor for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." When he spoke this way, many who'd followed him for material gain and who were interested only in a material kingdom said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they went back and walked no more with him. The reaction of the people to his preaching and teaching differed widely. Some saw him as a political leader who could deliver them from the Roman yoke. They were prepared to take him by force and make him a king. Some followed for the loaves and fishes and to gain release from their physical ailments. Some regarded him only as a learned teacher. Others thought he was a reincarnation of Elijah or John the Baptist. That was the disciples' answer when he asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" But when he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The religious establishment hated him because he exposed their impotence and hypocrisy and challenged their authority. They were determined to do away with him and finally secured the help of Judas to achieve their end. He who had started his ministry as the stranger of Galilee in 3 short years became one of the best known, most discussed, most loved, and most hated men in the entire country. On his last triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Thousands cheered, and people thronged his path, casting palm branches and even their garments on the road before him, crying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." A few days later, many of that same crowd would cry, "Away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar." Next week, we'll find what happened when the man of Galilee became the Christ of Calvary. We've only had time to sketch the barest outline of his 3 years' ministry that took him from the carpenter shop in Nazareth to the cross of Calvary. But I hope what we have discussed has helped you realize that while many people felt the impact of Christ's life and ministry and acclaimed him as the greatest man that ever lived, this alone is not enough. What really counts is whether our knowledge of him leads us to respond to his invitation to enter into that personal relationship with him that leads to a spiritual new birth and eternal life. There are millions of people today who admire Christ as a great religious leader and teacher, and they subscribe to many of his teachings, but they think of him only as a great man, the historic stranger of Galilee. Is that the way you think of him? Is that the way you know him? Or have you at some point in your life come to the place where you realize that he is in very truth the eternal God incarnate in human flesh? Have you ever bowed in reverent adoration before him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Remember, after he paid in full the price of your redemption on the cross, God raised him from the dead. And he's alive today, seated at God's right hand, from whence he offers you forgiveness and eternal life if you'll receive him as your Savior and enthrone him as the Lord of your life. If you have not done so before, will you do so today?
Thank you so much for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you are aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we need your prayers, we need your support to help us to stay on the air. And so we're asking for our listeners during this time of the year to be much in prayer for Canada's National Bible Hour. That'll make a tremendous impact in people's lives, and many will come to hear the gospel and be saved, and others will grow in their faith. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet by Max Lucado entitled Pocket Prayers. And basically, it's got 40 simple prayers that bring peace and rest to us. Sometimes we want to pray, and sometimes we don't know how to express ourselves in prayers to God. And this booklet can really help you a lot. There's different subjects that are listed in the index, and you can go there and you can sort of read along that prayer, and that will help you to think about your own situation and then pray effectively to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I really recommend this. I use it myself, and it's been very encouraging and been very helpful in your journey towards peace, rest, and a closer conversation with God. To get a copy of Pocket Prayers, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R 7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010 at Buffalo, New York, 14231.